Father, we open up your word today. Please give us the strength and help that we need to share it and to live it and to apply it to our hearts and lives. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. What are you looking for in life? What are you looking for this morning? What are you looking for next week? Next year? We're always looking for something. In this scripture reading, David was searching for God, searching for his comfort, searching for his help. We're always looking for something. As Christians, we should always be searching for truth from the Word of God, for our daily lives and our future, searching for a deeper walk with the Lord and a deeper walk with each other, and a deeper relationship with the Christ of Christmas. And this first Advent candle is the candle of searching. As we seek and remind, it reminds us to search. Be searching for the truth. Be searching for what God has for us. Today marks the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is that important time because it gives us time which is needed for us to prepare for Christmas. And I'm not talking about shopping and decorating, but preparing our hearts, preparing our lives for what we need. So much focus in our commercialized world is put on Christmas Day with gifts, etc. And there's no problem with gifts. There's nothing wrong with that. But if it's our focal, we've got the wrong point of view. We should be looking at why we have this day, just like communion. We come to communion each time. We realize that it reminds us of the Christ that paid the price. When we think of Christmas, it reminds us that He had to have a start here, and so he did, and he began the process of bringing to us salvation. Advent gives us time to prepare our hearts and our minds to focus on one of the greatest events in history, the birth of our Lord. My goal is to help us, as we go through each week, light each candle to learn and to focus on the preparation of our hearts, and as we build up toward Christmas Day. So the first Advent candle this year, as I've mentioned, I've called the candle of searching. We're searching, always searching. When you stop and you think about it, much of our lives are spent searching for something. Searching. Today, searching means something different. It used to be when you search something, you might go to the library, you might go to encyclopedia, now you just pick up your phone and you Google it or whatever, and you're searching for something. And searching seems to be a little easier for some things, but not necessarily for others. So searching and looking, they kind of go hand in hand. Searching or looking to find lost keys. Searching to find that lost bill before it becomes due. Searching for that jacket because now it's getting colder outside. And so we look for those things. The list goes on and on of things we search for. And so people today are searching like never before for meaning, for reality, for peace, for hope, for truth, for help, for guidance, for jobs, for the future. Searching, but seeming to never be able to find. And that is kind of a crummy feeling, isn't it? When you search and you can't find. Very frustrating feeling when you search and you're not finding. Couples are searching for better marriage relationships. And families are searching for better family time and better relationships. Looking, searching for what is what we do a lot of, isn't it? Biblically, we need to be setting an example for others and helping them to see what it's like to really search and to be able to find. The truth of the matter is that our searching, when directed properly, can help us fulfill all these areas that we're searching for and much more in life. Because we realize when our searching and our focus is on Him, then He helps fulfill that like never before. We need to be searching. We need to be wanting more and more of Christ, more and more of the Christ of Christmas. We need to seek the lost around us and help them to see that there is hope, that there is help, that it comes from the Lord. What does searching mean? Well, Webster, if we ever use him anymore, says that it is to be in search of, to look for, to try and discover, to ask for, to acquire or gain. We're always searching for those things. The Greek New Testament has 5 different words for this, all carrying a different slant depending on the context that they're used in. I want to draw your attention this morning to 3 areas of searching that need to be a part of our lives. Thinking about this definition of looking for, of discovering, let's make it our first area to be searching for, and that is number 1 on your outline, searching truth, searching for truth daily from the Bible for life and for our future. Searching for it because it's there in His Word. His Word is truth. An unknown writer said this: "This book is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it'll lead to Calvary, to an empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ. Yes, to glory itself for eternity." An unknown author, but a very wise person, writing those words. And so as we know, the Bible is the source of our insight, our help, our information, direction, authority for us in every aspect of our lives. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter says this. He says, "His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness." He gives us what we need. From God's Word, we learn that Christ's divine power has given us everything pertaining to life. He's given us His Word, which tells us and shows us how to live, how to act, how to make decisions, how to respond to life's problems and trials. Along with this learning, we apply these truths to our lives, and we discover that we are to acquire not just head knowledge, but a working knowledge of God's Word to be lived out in our daily experiences. So we have in the Bible a source and a resource to guide us, to direct us, and to help us to successful living in this world in which we live, in all areas, if we do it according to God's standard and God's way. So when life, which is filled with demands, our time, our resources, our money, our family, with life with its pressures, choices that we need to make, what should we do? How should we do them? Where should we go? How should we respond when we see all these things that are happening? Well, we go back to the Sermon on the Mount, where we spent a lot of time in learning. If you go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, we see here Jesus making it plain, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you." all the things you need in life, all the things that we fret about, all the things that we worry about, all the things that we stress about, he's given to us. Seeking here, as we realize what he's saying, seek here means to inquire, to make effort, to search, to strive, keeping and trying to obtain. So when he says to us to seek first the kingdom, that's where we are and what we're to do in these three areas that we're going to cover this morning. We, Jesus said, should get our priorities right. When the pressures of life, the anxieties of life, the choices of life crowd us, we need to heed Jesus' advice. Seek first his kingdom. The first thing that we should do is to seek his kingdom. In other words, seek his will. Seek his ways. Seek his plan. Seek his wisdom in every situation. What is he saying to you in the passage as you read your Bible each day? Ask yourself, what is he saying to me? What am I seeing here for my life? What can I learn? What can I take away from this? See, we just don't seek once when we have problems, when we're in trouble. You know, it's easy to want to get God's word out. Well, I got a problem, man. This is really bad. So let's get the Bible out. But we should be doing it all the time. The word seek, the word search here, is in the present imperative tense, which means it's keep on seeking, keep on searching, keep on asking, and not just a one-time shot. Searching, keep it up. And as we do, we should do it as though we're digging for treasure. If you knew that there was a deposit of gold somewhere in a certain property, and you were guaranteed it was going to be there, you wouldn't dig a couple of shovelfuls and say, well, you know, I didn't find it. You would tear that place up. You would do everything within your power to find it because you knew it was there. Well, we have a treasure that's far more precious than gold when we look for what we have in Christ. It's continuous on our part, searching. Searching like the three wise men did and not giving up. They could have quit easily, couldn't they? They came a long way searching for the one that was born. They followed that star. They followed those things that were going on. So daily we are to be seeking and searching for his help, his will, his direction for our daily lives. He will always give that to us. He's promised to be faithful in that. Spending time in Bible reading, studying it, is not just a good idea. It's a must. It should be a priority in our lives so that we make sure that it's a part of who we are. When people know who you are, they should know that you are a person of God's word. You are a person that spends time with him. And as your day begins, set aside time to spend with him in prayer, in reading the word, seeking him, his plan for that day before you begin it, before you walk out into it. And as we think of Advent and the coming celebration of the Lord's birth, seek to know his will for you each day. Establish and start now being in his word and prayer and study and in finding what he has for you. And so the second thing we need to be searching for is to know Christ, the Christ of Christmas, on a deeper level. Number two there is to search a deeper walk with the Lord and to seek a deeper walk with each other. We need that walk. We need that fellowship. We need one another in this Christian life. In Russia, someone made the observation, Christians are tested by hardship. But in America, we're tested by freedom. And testing by freedom is much harder, this individual observed. Nobody pressures you about your religion, so you relax and are not concentrated on Christ, on his teaching, how he wants you to live. And it's a very dangerous thing. Just because we don't have that heavy hand oppressing us, our freedom sometimes becomes an enemy of being what, having us be what we should be. So We need to seek to grow in our relationship with Him with intensity, with persistence in our lives. And that's how it should be marked. We should be seen as intensely seeking Him and persistently seeking Him. Make it your number one priority in life. Jesus used parables to help us understand the truth of His kingdom in a clearer way. Our need of really seeing what He has for us and wanting to live a deeper life. Matthew 13 has several parables in it. And there are a few that illustrate the intensity that we need in our searching and in our walking with Him daily. If you look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 and verse 45, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field that a man found and reburied. Then in his joy he goes and sells everything he has and buys the field." That's intensity, isn't it? Sell everything you've got just to get that field. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one priceless pearl, he went out, sold everything he had, and he bought it." That's intensity. Urgency is demonstrated by these individuals. They found something of great worth, something of great value. So a deeper walk with God is the thing of value to be grasped and held on to. It's a choice. It's not automatic. We need to always be working at it and always doing it and seeking to do it His way. It is worth giving up all else to gain and to keep. And it's maintained through love and obedience to Him in His Word in everything that we think, say, and do. If you go over to Matthew chapter 16, verses 25 and 26, we see Jesus saying this, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life because of me will find it. What will it benefit a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses his life? Or what will a man give in exchange for his life?" And so what Jesus is saying is you've got to lose yourself in Him so that you can be everything that He wants you to be. The New Testament is filled with instruction about our walk with God and how we are to live. A few examples of that are the fact that we're to walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. We're to walk in love, 2 John 1:6. We're to walk in the light, John 8:12, John 12:35. 1 John 1:7, we're to obey, and we are to abide, John 15. Lots of things there for us. It should be our desire to walk as closely and as deeply with the Lord as we can. As we do this, it'll affect our relationships with people around us, those that we come in contact with, those in our families, those in our church families. We should desire to have a deeper relationship with them, starting first of all, in our own homes, and then spreading out. Husband and wives should search for that deeper relationship, building on it, never stopping to work on it. Children with children, parents with their kids. And so it needs to go on and on, building and growing deeper in relationship. We should do whatever is necessary to grow in love and to appreciate each other. The same goes for church. Christians with each other should model their relationship after Jesus' commands and His life so that others can see and want the same thing. They should want what we have. We should be a good advertiser for the Lord. In John chapter 15, where Jesus instructs us to abide in Him, to remain in Him, John chapter 15, starting at verse 12, He says, "This is my command, love one another as I have loved you. No greater love than this, no one has greater love than this, than someone would lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you slaves anymore, because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. And so we see the relationship that he wants us to build. All throughout the New Testament, the emphasis is on working together, loving each other, helping, encouraging, strengthening, caring for each other, bearing with each other, bearing one another's burdens. It starts at home, it starts and it grows from there, and it builds outward. We have a responsibility to one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we need to meet that. You see, this first candle of Advent reminds us to be searching, to be striving daily, to grow. And then thirdly, we need to be searching out the Savior. We need to be searching out the Savior. Graffiti from the 1800s, discovered by workers renovating the Washington Monument, has quite a different tone from what usually is found today on the sides of buildings and subway cars. Whoever is the human instrument under God in the conversion of one soul erects a monument to his own memory, more lofty and enduring than this, reads the inscription, which can now be viewed by visitors to the monument. It is signed BFB. No one knows who that is or who left that small drawing in the 19th century that dates on those walls. The marking in the lobby of the monument were covered over when it was decorated at the turn of the century. They were found when workers removed marble wainscoting and part of the year-long renovations that were completed there. And so, what a intelligent person BFB was in saying what he did about whoever is the human instrument under God who leads someone to Christ. So we should in our lives daily be looking for and praying for those who need to know Jesus as their Savior and to tell them how to accept him, how they can find him as their Lord. Christ came at Christmas to begin the process of redemption, the buying back, the making payment for the sins of humans. And so his desire was to see fellowship restored with God and his creation, to see those things happening. And in Luke chapter 19 and in verse 10, we read this: "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." He's come to seek and to save the lost. That's why he came. The greatest gift that we can give anyone at this time of year or any time is to introduce them to Jesus and to help them see who he is. And so to help them see that they have a need that they have never taken the time to think about, maybe, to see their eternity and to see that they need to seek him for who he is and for all that he's worth. In Isaiah chapter 55, and in verse 6, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call to him while he is near." And that's what we need to be instructing people to do, helping them to see that truth that is there for them in God and his word. Most people are so busy in life that they give little thought to their future eternity. They're always thinking about what they're going to do, how they're going to find this, how they're going to do that. We need to help them think about, especially at this time of year, even though people are busy, many are still searching and many are still wondering. Is there meaning? Is there a purpose? What is real? Where can I turn? Many are down for some reason around holiday times. What better gift can we give them than to help them see what they have lost, and that they are lost, and that their needs can be met? They're in need of one who can forgive their sin, cleanse their heart of guilt, sins committed in their lives, and in their past and what they've done. 1 John 1:9 rings true. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. If we need to help them see the payday is demanded, and that they, if they seek to pay it on their own, they're going to fall short. But they need to realize, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They need to have the one who's paid the price for them to be a part of their life and to be a part of all that they say and do. And so when Christmas and life have new meaning then, purpose, joy, as they come to know Christ, the Christ of Christmas, as their personal Savior and friend. So as we wrap this up this morning, life is filled with seeking, and we need to be sure that we're searching the right things. Life is short. We need to make it count. We need to prepare our hearts for the future. Our roots need to go deep in Christ and in His Word. Our faith needs to be rock solid so that we can meet the pressures and the persecutions that are ahead. We need to seek Him today and draw from Him His vast supply of love and faithfulness. So let this candle, this first candle of searching, prepare you for the celebration of His birth as we look forward to His return in majesty and glory. We need to see and have that desire to search for Him and to seek Him while He may be found.